Good afternoon, everybody. We're going to talk today about what the proper way to react when one makes mistakes is, and that is something that we learned from this week's Parsha and from many other stories in Chumash. So as we know, very often when rabbis make mistakes, or politicians make mistakes, or bankers, or doctors, all kinds of professionals make mistakes, they have a very difficult time admitting to the mistakes that they've made, and they very often try every which way that they can to find some sort of excuse to explain why it is that it wasn't really a mistake. And they'll say, well, I was just misinformed, or maybe you didn't fully understand the circumstances. Had you been in the situation that we were in, maybe things would have been different, or it wasn't as big of a mistake as you think, or it wasn't really so avoidable at the time because this is what we were presented with, and we can engage and we can figure out and deny everything to try to absolve ourselves of our mistakes. But the truth is, this is not really the proper way to go. The Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos, there are a number of characteristics that define what it means to be a upstanding human being. And the Mishnah writes, Shiva Dvarim Begolam, there are seven characteristics of what it means to be a Golam. And Shiva Bechacham, there are seven that characterize what it means to be a wise person, to be a productive person. Says the Mishnah, Chacham, number one, someone who's a wise person. Eina medaber bifnei misha gadol mimenu bechachma v'minyan. You will not dare to disagree with somebody that is much greater than you. That is the first that is listed in the Mishnah about what it means to be a wise person in this world, which many in our generation don't even appreciate or understand because we all have the same platform. We're all given the same internet. We can all say whatever we want on our Facebook accounts. And therefore, this first idea that the Mishnah says is, Eina medaber bifnei misha gadol b'chachma v'minyan, is something that sometimes is lost in our generation. Number two, Eino nichnas l'toch divrei chavero. Somebody else is talking. You don't just insert yourself. If somebody asks you a question, you don't get flustered, you know how to respond. You're an organized thinker, you answer the first question first, the last question last. And when somebody asks you a question that you don't know the answer to, you should be comfortable to say, I don't know the answer, there's nothing wrong with that. And finally, somebody who is able to say that I admit to a mistake that I made. Somebody who's willing to be honest. Says the Mishnah, somebody who cannot bring themselves to do this means you are just a golem. You're a piece of clay. You're not a person who's productive. You don't really understand what it means to be a functioning member of our society. Part of that, says the Mishnah, is somebody has to be willing to say, Umode al ha'emes. And this is what we say every morning in our davening. La'olam he'yadim yari shamayim. Person has to be careful that they work on their own character, and one of the aspects of that being a Yari Shamayim is Umoda la emes v'dover emes bilavavo, that we are truthful people, not only what we feel in our hearts, but also the way we act and the way we present ourselves to other people, that we have no problem, we have no conscience admitting to a mistake that we've made. So you read our Parsha, and we have a very difficult story to understand what exactly was going on with Yehuda and Tamar, and the Pasuk says that Yehuda's children pass away, and he thinks that his daughter-in-law needs perhaps Yibum, so he marries his daughter-in-law off to another one of his children. And then it says that he meets up with this woman in the middle of the road. And Rashi tells us, quoting Gemara Maseches Sota, she was actually a tremendous tsanua. She was dressed very modestly, and because she hid her identity, because she didn't dare to show her face in public, that's why Yehuda made a mistake. He didn't realize it was his daughter-in-law. He ends up having a relationship with her. She doesn't say who she is. He doesn't tell her who he is. And that's what happens. And then, lo and behold, a couple of months go by, and vayhi kimishlosh chadashim, vayugad liYehuda. All of a sudden, why is it 3 months later? Because now it became evident that she was pregnant, and everybody comes to Yehuda and says, what's going on? A few months ago, your daughter-in-law must have had a relation with somebody, and she wasn't allowed to, and zansa tamar kalasecha. They tell her that, sorry?
Was it
Usher for both of them, absolutely.
So
she had a justification. She was a great tzaddikas. We can't get into the whole story of what her justification was. And what was Yehuda doing? Why did he just pick up a woman off the street and do what he did? Also a major question, but certainly for the father-in-law and the daughter-in-law, that was certainly inappropriate. They weren't allowed to do that. So 3 months later, Yehuda happens to be the Gadol Hadar. He is the Av Beis Din, and they present this woman to him, and they say, you got to punish her. Why? Because we just found out that she must have had some sort of affair that she wasn't allowed to have. Yehuda looks into the case, and he says, look, it seems that something went wrong. Vayomer Yehuda hotziyua v'tisarif. She is deserving of the death penalty. After all, she was violating the aveir of Gilei Arayos. And that's the psak that he issues for his daughter-in-law Tamar. Unbeknownst to him, he was the one who was violating the aver with her. So, he mutseis v'hishal hachamea. Look, Tamar gets this terrible decree, and she doesn't know what to do with herself. She's about to be killed. And Rashi tells us, quoting the Gemara, that she decides she's not going to humiliate Yehuda, which is an incredible act of I don't even know what that is, that Tamar was willing to give up her own life instead of humiliating the Gadol Hador, instead of telling him, by the way, you're the one who impregnated me. So, all she does is she sends him a few hints that he should realize that he was the one who had the affair with her. Vatomer, and she says, Hakerna lemiha chosemes v'hapsilim v'hamata eila. Vayaka Yehuda, immediately Yehuda recognizes the fact that he made a mistake, and not only does he recognize it, but he says, Vayomer tzadka mimeni, and he says, you're right, she is correct, I was wrong, I made a mistake, I did a terrible thing, and he revises the whole psak, and he reissues everything, and he looks through the whole story again, and he humiliates himself to the point that it was just so incredible what he was willing to do. And you think about this incredible story of Yehuda, just conjure up in your mind how many excuses Yehuda could have had. Yehuda could have said, look, the woman, we made a psak, this is the din, this is the halacha, I don't know what she's talking about, she didn't say it outright, and in the end of the day, nobody would ever find out, she was on her way out to be killed, who would ever find out the real story? Yehuda could have easily gotten away with it. He could have said, yeah, she's a terrible woman, she's trying to pin the blame on me, but that's not the way Yehuda responds, that's not the way he reacts. And you look in today's news, unfortunately, and you see how every day there's a claim against someone, and the question is, how is a leader who makes a terrible mistake going to react? How is he going to respond? Is he going to deny it? And is he going to say that, yes, terrible things may have happened, but it wasn't me, I wasn't involved, or this is what everybody was doing? Do you try to excuse the behavior? Or do you own up to your behavior and say, yes, I'm a human being, and I made a mistake, and I ruined people's lives, and I shouldn't have done it. Chatasi, I made a mistake, and that's the way it is. And that's what Yehuda teaches us in our Parsha. It's no coincidence that Yehuda is really from the word vidui, right? That he's a person who knows how to recite vidui. He's a person who knows how to say, I made a mistake, modala emes, I'm not ashamed to do this, and I'm willing to say it in front of everyone. So in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, we learn about all the different karbanos that have to be offered in the Beis HaMikdash. And there the Torah tells us a whole lengthy explanation about what one is supposed to do when he makes a mistake. So it starts off with saying, asher nasi yechata. When you have a nasi, when you have a leader of the generation who does a terrible avera, this is what he should do to absolve himself of that terrible sin. He brings a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, and that's what the Torah describes there. So the Gemara learns from that pasuk in Horius. Asher nasi yechata doesn't just mean asher when it happens. It happens all the time. But the Gemara says it means something further. Ashrei hadar shehanasi shelo nosein lev lahavi kapara al shegagasu. Praised is the generation that has a nasi that makes a terrible mistake. So what do you mean? The Mefarshim asks, praised is a generation? Wouldn't it be better if you had a generation where the leader doesn't make such terrible mistakes? Wouldn't it be better if you had a generation where the leader is not violating an avera, where the leader is not like Yehuda, where he does something, where he has a terrible extramarital affair with Tamar here, and we have the whole story that the Torah describes? Wouldn't that have even been better? So my father always told me the pshat is, no, it's very obvious. Praised is a generation that has a leader that makes mistakes but understands how to respond to those mistakes. We are all human beings, and guess what? Leaders make mistakes as well. Sometimes a leader's mistakes are much more consequential than a regular person's mistakes because the damage that is created by the mistake that was made is far worse than the damage that might be done by someone else's. However, ashrei hador, praised is a generation where the leader makes a mistake, because every leader is at some point going to make some kind of mistake, but the question is, how does he respond to that mistake? Praised is a generation that has a leader that knows to react and to take responsibility for the mistakes that they've made, and not to be ashamed, not to be embarrassed, to tell people, yes, I have made a mistake, and this is the way it is. In Parshas Bereishis, we have an amazing story where the Torah teaches us about Cain and Hevel. So what does the Torah say? Vayakam Kain. Kain gets upset about the fact that Hevel's carbon was accepted and his was not. Vayarog es Hevel Achiv. The Torah tells us he goes ahead and he murders his brother. Can you imagine? He murders his brother, one of the only people on this earth. He murders almost half of the population. So the Torah tells us the story. Immediately after that it says, Vayomer Hashem al Kain. God comes to Kain and he says, Ei Hevel Achicha, maybe you could tell me, where's your brother? And he responds, Hashomer Achi Anochi. What do you think? I know about Hevel. How am I supposed to know where he is? And why was he doing that? Because he wanted to weasel out of the terrible sin that he had done. Well, he didn't want to own up to the mistake. I murdered him, but what am I going to say? I'm going to respond to God and say that I murdered him. So he gives a response. He tries to get himself out of it. I don't know who he is. I don't know where he went. After all, he's my brother, but I'm not my brother's keeper. What should I tell you? And immediately after that, God says to him, Ma'asisa, what did he do? And because of that, Arurata, now you have been punished and now you're going to be cursed. Rashi writes that God originally gave him the opportunity to admit to his mistake. And God spoke to him, Benachas, Rashi says, and God came to him and he said, where is your brother? He didn't come and yell at him and censure him immediately. He tells him in a very calm voice, I'm wondering if you know what happened to your brother. And he was giving him the opportunity to admit to his mistake, and Cain fumbled that opportunity, and he refused to do so. And similarly, we find in Sefer Shmuel, where the Navi tells us the terrible story, the tragedy of Shaul HaMelech. So what happens? Shaul HaMelech, who is referred to as Bechir Hashem, he is the chosen one. God loves Shaul HaMelech. And yet Shaul HaMelech is instructed that when he is the king, it's his responsibility, it's his obligation to go and wipe out every last remnant of Amalek, which means Minar Vad Zakein Tafen Nashim, he has to destroy everybody. And not only the women and the children and all the men and everybody there and all the Shvachos, but also all the animals, all of the property, everything absolutely must be destroyed. Now, Shaul HaMelech does most of the job, but what happens, as we know, the Navi tells us, Shaul HaMelech leaves out a small part of it. So he leaves Agag, who is the king, the leader, he leaves him alive, and he saves some of the sheep as well. And he goes and he captures all of them. He does not kill them. And immediately after that happens, God goes to Shmuel and he says, I would like you to go inform Shaul HaMelech that he's going to lose his chance to continue to be the Melech. So Shmuel goes ahead and he has a conversation. He begins a dialogue with Shaul HaMelech to try to find out what happened. Vayomer Shaul Shmuel. So Shaul says, well, you know, what's going on here? How do we deal with the problem here? So he says, look, originally, I really felt that I killed everybody. I just left Agag alive. And after all, I really captured him, so we can kill him now. I didn't really do anything wrong. And all of the animals that I salvaged from that community, I'm going to bring as carbonos anyway, so it's not that bad. He's trying to weasel himself out of the problem. And Shmuel says, you're giving me excuses? You're giving me excuses? And we have many, many psukim there where Shaul HaMelech is trying to excuse himself about the terrible mistake that he did. And finally, after all that, he says he made a mistake. After the long conversation of trying to give excuses, he says, "Vayomer Shaul Shmuel Chatasi, ki avarti es pi Hashem v'es dvarecha." You're right. I made a mistake, and I did not do what I was supposed to do. Ki aresi es ha'am v'eshma b'kolam. Even when he admits the mistake, he says, "Well, it wasn't really my fault because I was getting a lot of pressure, communal pressure. What can I do? I know there are things wrong in the world, but I can't make the statement because look what's going to happen—the backlash." Shaul HaMelech, even when he admits the mistake, cannot admit the mistake. And Shmuel responds to him and he says, well, did you make the mistake or did you not? And Shaul HaMelech says back, well, now that I admitted to the mistake, let's go v'shuvi mi v'eshtachava l'Hashem. Now that we got this past us, now let's go and bow down to God. Let's get back the relationship that we always had. And Shmuel says, absolutely not. Now it's too late. I will not go with you because you did not admit to the mistake, because you were not willing to own up to your responsibility that you were supposed to. After all, you are one of the leaders of the generation and this is your obligation. Leaders make mistakes, that's what happens, but the question is, how do they respond to those mistakes? And that's what some of the Mefarshim write. God was willing to forgive Shaul HaMelech had he only said immediately, Chatasi, without giving all the excuses. If Shaul HaMelech only would have responded, you're right, Shmuel, I made a mistake, I did the wrong thing. Maybe he could have saved his melucha, however the Gemara tells us he lost it because he was not willing to do that. And you contrast that with the mistakes that David HaMelech made in his lives, and he also, as we're told in the Gemara, violated some terrible averus, but David HaMelech, immediately when he's confronted with these things that he did, he says, Chatasi, I made a mistake, and he doesn't blame it on the community, and he doesn't blame it on the communal pressure, he doesn't say anything else. All he says is, Chatasi, I made a mistake, and that's what it is. So, this is really a very important lesson from our parsha that we learn from the story of Yehuda and Tamar, that a leader will make mistakes, and that's the nature of every human being. Every human being will make mistakes. The question is, how does the human being take responsibility for the mistakes that they made? And the truth is, my father has said on many occasions that we have a story in Bereishis Rabbah when the world is being created. It's a very unusual story and it's hard to really understand what it's about. But the Medrash tells us a story that at the beginning of time when God was creating the world, it says he was bonei olamos umachrivan. God was building worlds and destroying them. So it's a very hard story to understand. What does it mean? If God wanted to build the world the way it is, he could have done it immediately. He's a omer va'osa. All he has to do is say something and immediately it happens. So what does it mean God had to try a number of times to build a world? He didn't like it, he destroyed it, tried again. So why is the Medrash sharing this piece of information with us, and what are we supposed to learn from it? Rav Soloveitchik said very famously that perhaps one is supposed to learn from it that God himself also sometimes does something that is not the way it's supposed to be, and then he destroys it and he starts all over again. And a person should never feel just because he made a mistake It doesn't mean that your life is over, and it doesn't mean that there is no possibility of a return, and there's no possibility of having a beautiful world going forward. Rav Soloveitchik said the Medrash goes out of its way to teach us this story because it should be a chizik for all of us that as human beings, we all make mistakes, but guess what? We all have second chances. And after we have that second chance, we have the opportunity to live a life that's even more beautiful than the one that we had beforehand, and to be more enriched and more enthused by the incredible gift that we've been given at having that second chance at the lives that we are living. That's something we learn not only from Yehuda, not only from Shaul HaMelech and David, but it's something we learn as well from the Ribono Shel Olam himself. He himself was Bonei Olamos Machriven. Didn't come out the way you liked it. You made a mistake along the way. Kaba Yachlov, you can say such a thing. Just build it again. Life doesn't end there. You have an opportunity as long as you take responsibility for the mistake that you've made, and you have the opportunity to take life to the next step and to live it to the fullest after you continue to do so.